Welcome to Soroka Speaks, coaching minds and elevating careers. We're so happy to have you here. We hope that you enjoy this episode and that it supports you to put your potential in motion.
What's going on, everybody? This is Soroka Speaks. I am your co-host, Emily Harukoli, and I am here with my lovely co-host.
It's Claire. Hi, everyone.
Welcome back. So today we are going to pick up on a conversation that we were having last week around this idea of being too big for your britches, or the concept of, like, is it boasting if it's true? Or this concept of win statements. One of the companies that we work with is really big on win statements and, you know, shouting yourself and your team out when, you know, you've accomplished certain things. And for a lot of people, that is not something that's necessarily hardwired into them. Some personalities are great at it. It comes very naturally to them. But this idea of being proud of one's accomplishments and how you communicate and celebrate that is something that we've noticed differs across different personalities, but also differs across cultures. And some cultures are, you know, have conditioned people to, you know, not be a certain way. Anyways, I digress. Claire's going to tell us a little bit about this idea that's mostly popular in my experience in Australia and New Zealand, and it's called the tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, actually, Em, you introduced me to this, and I really resonated with this so much. And so the tall poppy syndrome, like you mentioned, originated out of Australia and New Zealand, and it's where the farmers grow their poppy fields. Absolutely beautiful. You know, if you Google the photos, they're insane, insanely picturesque. But what they do is they go along the fields, and any poppies that are rising above the rest are cut down. And so it's this, you know, we can relate this to our individual persona, people, where people think that you are getting too big. In England, we say too big for your boots, right? You say britches, we say boots. And they come along and try and cut you down. And, you know, I have to bring up that my mum always said, don't forget where you come from, because she always thought that I was getting too big for my boots, and always tried to pull me back down. And I just think, how many other people have ever felt like that? And I was having a look online about this just before this podcast as well. And there was a survey actually done in 2023. And it said that almost 87% of people had experienced tall poppy syndrome at work. And I just thought that's insane, like an insane number of people that have been cut down, you know, pulled back down, cut off, made to feel terrible, however they've made to feel. But this tall poppy syndrome, almost 87% of people had experienced that at work.
And think about how exhausting that is. This is what I was envisioning when you shared that, is like, we're at work, we're striving to be our, you know, to accomplish our greatest things and to make a difference and, you know, to win, right? And to be the best we can be. And then that's confronted with, yeah, but don't talk about it, or don't celebrate it, or don't own it as though it is yours, because then that may imply that someone else isn't or hasn't. Yeah. And it's about keeping everybody, you know, on this even playing field. And I've done quite a bit of work, as you know, in the New Zealand startup ecosystem. And I see this like prevalent in pretty much every native Kiwi that I've ever worked with. There is this sense of, you know, it's humility to a fault. It's almost like humility. Yeah. I don't say breeding into toxicity. That sounds a little too dramatic, but it's humility in a sense that I don't think serves the greatest, like what's possible inside of the human spirit. I think the human spirit and what it means to like be on purpose and to accomplish things and to go after your dreams, that is something to be celebrated, and it is something to be shared, and it is something to be you know, communicated, because that's the invitation through, hopefully, in a healthy environment, people see that as not as a threat, but as an invitation, mm-hmm. right, to accomplish something that perhaps they haven't before, or inspire them to do something that they haven't done before. So tell me a little bit about, for you, where has, you mentioned a little bit about your mom and the too big for your boots, but yeah. in this professional capacity, or if you were, if I was going to assume that you were part of that 87%, how has that shown up for you?
Yeah. Do you know what? Interestingly, for me, I actually feel it less at work. And I don't know if that's because I've worked in smaller companies, I've worked in a lot of startups, versus kind of these big corporations. And so I can imagine that there is more competition. It's a bit more cutthroat. Or maybe it's the people that I surround myself with in business that do celebrate each other. So I feel very blessed that actually from a business point of view, I haven't really experienced that. For me, that experience comes personally. And that did come from my mom. And, you know, it's really bizarre. And I don't really know why it came from her or why she felt like she always had to take you down a peg or two, you know, yeah. that I should dream smaller, or I should, you know, not want as much as I want. And I'm just like, but mum, why? Why would I not want to be the best? And why would I not want to give my kids the best? And why would I not want to strive for success? Like, and she just didn't understand me. And I think perhaps that's her generation. I think that's her upbringing. So I've learned how to give my mum a little bit of grace about that she just, I think, will never fully understand me, because she just doesn't, she's never been experienced to that, or been around that in her life. And so I have learned, rather than to be mad at her, I've had to learn like a little bit of grace, just mm-hmm. that her and I are never gonna, mm-hmm. we're gonna come from a different place. Like, I do just have this different drive that she has. She had a drive to be a great mom and always be at home and, you know, attend everything that we did as kids. And I think that's incredible that she did that. And I now do that, right? I try and attend absolutely everything that my kids have going on. But at the same time, I'm going to work my butt off and achieve great things. And I'm going to have the house of my dreams and the car of my dreams. And I'm going to take my kids on as many holidays as I can to see the world. And, you know, I want my kids to be the tallest poppies. And I say that to them all the time. I want you to live your dreams and to have incredible lives and achieve everything you want to achieve, because I never want them to feel like that. I never want to feel like I am that farmer coming along and, you know, cutting them down in the field. And so that's my experience. And what's interesting is the same survey also says that over half of the people that they interviewed felt like they'd experienced that tall poppy syndrome from friends. And I think that's also something that's interesting to explore, is those in your circle that support you or perhaps don't support you. And where does that come from? You know?
I wanted to create a distinction or a bit of a perspective shift, because for me, it's not about, like, it's about being the tallest poppy that you can be.
Yes.
It's not about being taller than other poppies, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm. So when I think about, like, because I used this metaphor before and now I'm relating it to this tall poppy syndrome. When you look at nature, right, when you look at, you know, a flower or a tree or, you know, a bumblebee or a hive, whatever it is, nature's desire, nature's mission, nature's commitment, nature's strive is to simply be the fullest expression of itself for however long that is, and whatever life cycle, whatever it's a part of, and then it dies. Like, that's the cyclical nature of things. So a poppy's, you know, each individual poppy is like, just go be that biggest, brightest, tallest poppy you can be. Maybe poppy, and that's okay. But are you the fullest expression of who you are in your poppydom? Yeah. Right? So here's, you know, all joking aside, humans are no different. We are also a part of nature. And I really think that our purpose or mission in life is to be the fullest expression of who we are as individuals in whatever our purpose is and whatever we're up to and whatever we're doing. And that doesn't mean that, like, it's not about, like, my fullest expression of myself is taller than other people's fullest expression of themselves, so to speak, right? It's just about being, like, the fullest expression of who I am. And I think that's what we need to celebrate more, is it's like, you know, it's not about, are you taller or shorter than any of the other poppies? It's like, are you being the fullest expression of who you are and what's possible and, you know, your fullest expression in this life? And do that to the very best of your ability for as long as you can. And then I'm sorry to be morbid. And like, and then this is all going to end. Like, that's it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I actually love that. And I think, was I listening to something or talking to someone recently? And they said the only competition that they have is with themselves. Was that you that said that?
No, I'm just saying, you know the saying. Oh. Pointing to myself. Yeah, that's
what... I heard it recently, and I don't know if maybe we were talking about this as well last week. It's like, you know, and I wonder if the farmers that come along and these people in the workplace are the people that are in competition with others rather than being in competition with themselves. And I always, I do wonder about that when people try and cut others down. It's, what is that purpose? What are you hoping to achieve by doing that? Because, you know, you're killing confidence, you're destroying trust, you're destroying relationships.
Yeah, I'm going to just chime in there because it's homeostasis at work. It's like, hey, please don't go step outside of your comfort zone and take a risk and do something scary, because then that may mean or imply that I'm supposed to step out of my comfort zone and go and do something scary. It's the comparison piece, right? You'll notice in all of these threads where this doesn't serve us, it's this, because there's some element of competition, right? As opposed to celebrating like what's unique to oneself. So you reminded me of this beautiful Ernest Hemingway quote that I want to share. And it's it's something about, let me see if I can find it here. There's nothing noble in being superior to your fellow person for the 21st century people. There's nothing, so I'm going to paraphrase Ernest Hemingway's quote here. There's nothing noble in being superior to your fellow person. True nobility lies in being superior to your former self. Mm-hmm. And that's it. The only competition we should have is with our former self. Can I consistently push myself to be the best that I can be? But as you just mentioned, and what I'm pointing out is, like, there is literally this element of homeostasis. It exists in all of us. It's more commonly known as our comfort zone. We literally have the mechanics of our brain working to stop us to take risks, to stop us from, you know, being seen, stop us from, you know, speaking our mind, stop us from growing too tall, whatever it is. And it reminds me of another, you know, theory that we kind of, or distinction that we, you know, talk about and have thrown around quite a bit. And that's that of Gay Hendricks and his upper limit pattern. For those of you listening, if you're not familiar with this, it comes from Gay Hendricks' book, The Big Leap, which is a total game changer, easy read, and will change your life if you let it. So the upper limit pattern is essentially this concept that we all of us, and, you know, unique to the user, we all have a threshold for, we only have so much of a threshold for, you know, financial success, recognition, laughter, pleasure, fun, money, health, whatever it is. So we all exist within a comfort zone in every domain of our life. And if we venture to breach to the threshold or the border of that comfort zone and endeavor to cross it, our this concept supposedly called the upper limit will sort of, you know, start ringing our alarms and do something to bring us back down to the level of comfort that we're used to. So if I'm on the verge of more financial success than I've ever had, maybe my upper limit's going to look like I go spend a bunch of money, or I blow a deal, or I overlook sending a couple invoices or something. I do something that brings my financial success back down to some level of comfort. So we need to be conscious of these upper limits so we can consistently be redefining what the upper limit for us is, especially as it aligns to, you know, goals or objectives that we want to, or commitments that we want to bring to fruition and obtain in our life. So I know that that all of those kind of things sort of represent some of the things that get in the way of our personal growth, in my experience and my professional experience as well.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced the upper limit pattern? Have you noticed when that shows up? And it could be at any point, right? You could have been in as a teenager going into exams. It could be last week. Like, have you experienced that or could give an example of a client without breaching confidentiality?
Yeah, of course. I think that it often shows up in relationship, you know? So like, while this isn't obviously present for me right now as a single woman in relationship, I mean, it could show up in platonic relationships too. But I think I've noticed it in myself a lot in, and Gay Hendricks even gives this example of where it shows up in personal relationships in life. It's like things can be so good or so harmonious or so like just in sync or whatever, that it's like, wow, is this too good to be true? And then somebody will do something that then triggers the status of the relationship or that harmony to be a little less harmonized. And we're going to do that, you know, in relationship. Even subconsciously or unconsciously based on the relationships that were modeled to us growing up. So unless we've rewritten, you know, or redefined what that looks like, we're going to inevitably be playing out those patterns. So I think upper limit shows up a lot in particularly romantic relationship, because I think there's like a lot at stake there and there's a lot of upper limit to be had in a lot of different domains, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I definitely see it in my relationship with money. You know, like I got into debt pretty much as soon as I got a credit card. Nobody ever taught me about money. And there's been this whole journey of what it means to like have money and to earn money and to earn more money. And like, what does that mean about me? And I can even feel myself like getting like short of breath, like even talking about it, right? Like, so for me, I know there's a lot of growth and there's a lot of like upper limiting that happens in the domain of finances, of money, and just like that we make up so much stuff about that. Upper limit myself with time, with free time. It's like, oh, I couldn't possibly be disorganized or like I make it mean I like taking downtime or like having, you know, a few free hours here and there or like going to the gym during the day or something, you know, some of these things, it's like, oh my God, like what luxury have I, this couldn't possibly be, like, I must be doing something wrong. That's the feeling kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does that kind of answer your question a little
bit? Oh my God, 100%. And you know, I actually resonate with every single one of those because I read that book last year off the back of us doing our leadership program. And I knew, you know, we had talked about it and I'd heard about it, but I'd never read the entire book. And so I read the book last year and everything was going great with my husband. And I'm like, oh, things are not this great usually, right? Husbands are usually there just to irritate you and everything was going really well. And I'm laughing, but I don't mean that seriously. But, you know, relationships are freaking hard work, particularly marriages. And we've got a blended family. So it's even harder to blend families whilst thinking about, you know, I've got an upbringing and I'm raising my kids a certain way. He's been brought up a certain way and raising his kids. And then he has got an ex-wife and she's raising the kids and my ex-husband's raising the kids. And then it's like, okay, well, now we need to blend everybody's parenting style and run a house and run businesses. And, you know, like I was in college and da-da-da, there was lots going on. And so I realized I was being just nitpicky. And what I realized when I read the book was, oh my God, I'm at my upper limit in relationship and it cannot be working this smoothly because there should be all of these factors that are coming in that would break most people. And we seem to have our shit together right now and we shouldn't, like, because, you know, that's what we think, it's this should thing. And I started just nitpicking and I actually caught myself doing it. And I thought, I'm in my upper limit, I need to snap out of this because actually we have worked really hard for things to be 80-90% smooth, right? Nothing's 100% smooth 100% of the time. But it made me think about that. And it was only after reading it, I realized what I was doing. I was just, you know, it shouldn't be this easy. We shouldn't be this happy. And once I recognized that, I was able to curb it. I caught myself anytime I was just like nagging for the sake of it. like, there wasn't really a problem. I could just ask, hey, could you take out the bins? He'd go, yeah, sure. Give me an hour and I'll be done. Yeah. Of course you haven't emptied the bins because you just, you know, can't be arsed and you don't think about me. And I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I?
No, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
It just was nuts when I recognized what I was doing and it changed me. It didn't change him. It changed me. And therefore the relationship went back to that place that it was before I started freaking out.
That more harmonious state.
Yeah. Yeah, it
you
did.
You know, you named something really powerful, which is the power of naming something, right? Mm-hmm. Like now, like when you bring something into your conscious awareness, a behavior, and we teach this through distinctions, right? Like a distinction helps us distinguish our behavior. So the distinction, upper limit pattern, allows us to now more objectively be able to see where it shows up in our life. And so I just really love that because you can't change what you're unaware of. So you've got to be aware of it. You've got to be able to name it. And then the work is like, okay, now you're aware of it. Now you've named it. Can you consistently turn up the dial on the threshold of what it means to be in harmony in your relationship or have more financial success than you've ever had or like, and there's like a kind of the bottom line kind of statement that I love is like, how good can you stand it? Like, how good can you stand it?
Right? Yeah.
Where you start going and fucking shit up, how good can you stand it?
Yeah.
And can you let it be great?
Yeah. It's so powerful to think about that. And that loops into every area. And for me and you, it loops into the financial and it loops in back into that tall poppy syndrome, right? It's like, well, you know, society says, you know, we're working mothers, we should perhaps be here, or we're starting our own business, we should be here, you know, or my mother says, like, it's never possible to earn that amount of money or whatever, wherever it comes from, right? I'm not worthy of that because it was beyond my imagination to ever think that. But then it's like, well, what would that look like? How would that feel to earn that? And last year, I did loads of work on myself around this because I set myself a last year goal for financials. And it was, and I just thought, you know, I got to the end of the year and I was like, oh, some months I hit that, some months I didn't. And then my accountant's just like, we have to have a conversation about your tax because you earned the most amount of money ever. And I went, what do you mean? And I'd hit it over the year without realizing. So this year, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do even more because I went beyond that. I thought I am going to be the tallest poppy. Competition for myself. I'm not competing with anybody else. Other people's success inspires me. It doesn't make me jealous. It doesn't make me want to take them down. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you get all of this shit done? How do you, you know, mind, like,
yeah, like, where yeah, are you thinking about this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's where the success comes from. And the change in the mindset is being around those people rather than looking at it as a competition or as a threat. It's looking at, oh my God, that's inspiring. I would love to do that. I would love to. We talked about shopping at Louis Vuitton. I've been in Louis Vuitton. I've never been, I'm scared to walk past the window. Like that's my upper limit.
Louis Vuitton. Oh my goodness. Going in Barcelona. Add that to the Tiffany. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
But that's my, like, oh, maybe I'll buy a fake off, like, I don't know, Haku or whatever it is.
You gotta But
up until recently, like, that again is that upper limit. Am I thinking too big, right? So it is.
Sometimes it's a ridiculous amount of money to spend on an accessory, but it's not, I think for me, like, personally, it's not necessarily about that. It's about, like, that's the reward piece, right? That's the, like, symbol of something. It means something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's where we, you know, when I look at others, maybe this is a different mindset that I have sometimes is I'm like, oh my God, how did you get that? Like, I'm so proud of you and I'm so happy for you. But like, how did your year go? Tell, like you said, what's your mindset? And I want to be around people like that. I want people to want to make me feel like I can do more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we both are very much in the same mindset of that as well. And using that as a driving force and a motivation and an inspiration But it is hard, I think, for people to change that mindset, because there are a lot of influences that have shaped who we are as humans, right? And like we've talked about them, about my mum and how she tried to pull me down, and yet I still continue to want to be the person that I am. And every year I will continue to want to be better than I was the previous year. But yeah, I just wonder if there's any tips that we can share about, like, just a small step to moving away from, you know, people that are the farmers, right? I'm going to use that. Moving away from people that are farmers.
Great distinction.
How to change. Yeah, but yeah. It is. How do we change?
Get away.
Get away. But maybe it starts with that. Maybe it starts with the circles that you're in.
Okay, so I think there's something that you're touching on, something around like what I would call like a naysayer, right? And I think that, in one of our last episodes, we talked about how sometimes those naysayers is coming from a place of like, because they're not taking that risk, or they're seeing something, they're seeing you do something that they're not necessarily willing to do or to strive for. And so I think while keeping that in mind, we might suggest that some of those people are what we would call like a naysayer or like a hater or whatever. And so here's the interesting thing. When we think about like success in like a very generic term, a lot of times for a lot of people, what that means is that they're going to have more eyes on them, right? They're going to be doing something, playing a bigger game, which is generating a different kind of result in their life, which we in this hypothetical situation might deem successful, quote unquote, successful, right? And so what I'm suggesting is anytime, say you've got naysayers or haters in your life, like you're doing something to the point where there are eyes on you. And anytime there are eyes on you, you are not going to resonate with everybody. There's going to be people that listen to this podcast and turn it off because we're just not vibing around the same frequency. And I hope that there are a lot of people that feel the opposite and can hear something in this for themselves. But here's my point. Is that regardless of any of those situations, the work is you got to be okay with you first. Because if I'm going to have all of these eyes on me and I don't know who the fuck I am or what I stand for or how I feel about things or have some process by which I navigate myself authentically and genuinely in the world, right? Without that internal compass, I will be subject to what all of these people think and all of their opinions. And I will not be grounded in any sense of who I am and what I bring to the table, because I will be endeavoring to appease or worry about or blah, blah, blah. So I'm not saying that, you know, it doesn't hurt if somebody likes you or says something bad about you or whatever. What I'm suggesting is that I think part of what we're talking about is, you know, can you at its core is how okay with you are you? And are you willing to be okay with you enough to the point where you are willing for other eyes to be on you? And that maybe is the pathway. That maybe is, you know, the calling, if you will.
Yeah. And I think that can be hard, right? That self-love and that self-acceptance can be hard, especially if you have so many people already, you know, just negative around you. It's a lot of work to just go, it's okay. Their feelings and their thoughts can exist, but mine are stronger and mine are the most important. And really, mine are the only thoughts that matter. Ultimately,
I mean, this is really when we get back to, you know, you being in relationship with yourself. And sometimes we don't think about being in relationship with ourselves. But I think that's a really powerful perspective, because your relationship with you is actually the only one that actually lasts your entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. So like, might as well try to get in a good place with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that acceptance. It's the love. It's the grace to, I made a mistake. It's okay. I'm going to learn from that and move on, rather than beat yourself up for 2 weeks. That's something, you know what I mean? There's lots of ways that you can look at self-love and self-care. And like you say, it's the most important relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing what you need to do to be your fullest expression, your tallest poppy in the world. So
yeah.
On that note, friends, thank you for being here. We encourage you to practice what it means to be the fullest expression of who you are as a poppy in the field. and don't worry about whether you are taller or shorter than any other poppies. Just go be the fullest expression of the poppy that you are. We really appreciate you being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much. And we will speak to you again soon.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.